Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
It's time now for the Patty Conklin Show, exclusively on HealthyLife.net Radio.
Well, hello, folks. It's Vanessa K. Hall, M.D., as Patty likes to say. And I am hosting Patty's Up Visiting Family. And it is my great pleasure to have as my guest today my basketball coach from college, Kathy Delaney Smith. I should say legendary basketball coach. I know that you were the first 16th seed in the NCAA tournament to beat a number one seed. I think it was in 92 against Stanford.
98,
okay, something like that. Yeah. And that you were one of the longest running coaches at the same school, right?
Yeah.
40 years?
40 years, yes.
Yes, and I was there. I was there when you got there. That's how far back we go.
Right.
Yes.
Makes us young.
Yes. Well, makes me a little younger. But I'm so happy that you agreed to join me. We've known each other for a long time. I only got to spend a year with you as a player, but went back for our alumni weekends and got to know you better over the years, and also got to know some of your players and some of their great achievements. I mean, one of your players is the governor of Massachusetts, for crying out loud. It's pretty phenomenal. And got to just be around you from time to time and really appreciate what you brought to the school and to women's basketball and have elevated it. And you retired, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
2022, so 3 years ago. Yep.
Yeah. And then you had your arm twisted and then you wrote this book that I just love. It's just packed with wisdom. But before we get to the book, just give us a little background about, how you got from, where you started to where you are today.
Okay. Well, it's a non-traditional path, to say the least. And, Vanessa, you're right. I was convinced to write the book because I'm not a writer. And I have all these brilliant alumni similar to you yourself. And there was one whose name is Laura Barnard who convinced me that my unique style at Harvard was a great message and very valuable. And so she really spent probably over a year convincing me to write this book. So, and ironically, it was probably the most enjoyable, great thing I've ever done because I was a non-traditional Division I basketball coach. Right? My background, I never played basketball. I was a synchronized swimmer. So just that alone is just ironic that I ended up staying at Harvard for 40 years. And then I did 11 years before that at the high school level and loved all 51 years of coaching. I have always approached sport and basketball as a great classroom for life. And I arrive at Harvard and I go, I'm not going to have the tallest or the fastest, but I'm going to have some of the greatest minds in our country. And so let me learn how to train the mind and use life lessons to win basketball games. So that's what I did. And obviously started at Point Zero, and I feel I must have gotten progressively better as time went on because all these brilliant women come back and say that was one of their best classrooms, if not their best classroom at Harvard. So it's fate that you and I, reconnect right now, Vanessa, because I have always admired that part of your brain and how you approach life and how you're always looking for solutions and ways of being happy and healthier. So, like, that's, I think, why we connected so quickly just that 1 year at Harvard, for sure.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we really did. I mean, it was, I mean, I was a senior, you know, and I was sort of, you know, the old hat, and, you know, as a co-captain, you know, I did try to help you as much as I could. So it was definitely a lot of fun. It was definitely a great basketball experience. I mean, I can't really describe it. Best coach I've ever had for anything. And I think it's probably because you expected us to show up every day,
right,
and to be present.
Right.
To be 100% present doing that while we were there. And you made it fun. You know, I mean, it was hard. Folks, don't get me wrong. She kicked our butts. I mean, we were in great shape. But it was fun. And I think really the idea of being a team and being a unit. Now, our team was very dysfunctional, but it was still, I could see the writing on the wall, you know. I forgot to say earlier that you had the longest winning streaks in high school basketball when you were coaching at Westwood, right?
Right.
How many years was that?
A national record, and I was reading basketball books in my office and running in the gym and teaching basketball because I was a swimmer. I was not a basketball player. So that's the non-traditional path I took. Yeah.
And you were born and raised in Massachusetts?
Yes. I don't have a Boston accent, but if you did park your car in Harvard, you'd know that the yard was beautiful and I have an accent.
Just a little one. You played a little bit of basketball as a kid?
I played six player, which is not the game I coached. So it was six player basketball back in the 50s and 60s. No one could cross half court. There was a period of time where you couldn't dribble. Then things got crazy and we could dribble twice. And then it got even more crazy where they allowed one player from each team to run the length of the court, because the fear of a woman ruining her breasts was predominant in the 50s and 60s, which kind of went against my grain and my mother's grain, and because my mother was my coach. So, yeah, if you want to call that basketball, Vanessa, by all means, do that.
Well, it was something. It was something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you say your mom coached you. So she was a, you know, from reading this book, she was a significant influence on you, as well as your dad. But I think it's a unique thing to have your mom, particularly back then, coaching at all.
Right.
So she was a
fighter. Yeah.
Yeah, she was
a
trailblazer.
Ahead of her time. Yes.
So that's where your spunk, let's just say.
Good word.
I try. And, you know, let's just jump ahead. You've written this book. What else are you doing?
Well, it's a funny thing. There were people in my immediate inner circle who were very fearful that I didn't have the right personality to be retired, and I don't know what they're talking about. I think it's because I really did love my job. But so the book was just so wonderful to connect with so many alumni, and both at the high school level, you know, from Westwood High School to all my Harvard people. And I talked to many of them during the process of writing the book. So that was pretty time-consuming. But I love tennis. I love riding my bike. I'm very active, and so when my back was not screaming at me, and I've had two major back surgeries since retiring, you know, that all sort of adds up to a full day, and I'm very busy.
No, I get it. I mean, I have friends that are retired, and it's like their full-time job is maintaining their health and wellness.
There you go.
So let's get to the book, because the book, you know, people are probably saying, well, why is she having her coach on this wellness program? I mean, people are probably scratching their heads, but when I read your book, you know, it really struck me that the life lessons that you talk about and you taught your players are so many of the things that I've learned the hard way, you know, the trial and error way along the years, but many of them apply to wellness. I mean, directly. They're the same things I've been reading about, whether it's Michael Singer or Joe Dispenza or, you know, my shaman class or whatever. It's the same stuff. I mean, jotted a few notes here, and, you know, the one that really stands out for me with regard to wellness is staying present, you know, mindfulness, and utilizing meditation. You know, we have a very chaotic world here in the U.S. these days, and in the world as well. A lot of pain and suffering and just really senseless stuff. And it's so easy to just get caught up in all of that and really lose your center and find yourself, you know, really anxious and even as friends that are fearful and, you know, are just consumed with watching the news and all of that stuff. And, you know, and I get back to staying in the present moment and how important that is, because first of all, it's the only moment we really have. And if we are caught up in what's not here, present with us, or what's in the past, it affects the body. You know, we're thinking and dwelling on creates emotions and feelings that are really chemical expressions in the body. So the physiology of the body changes. And what I know and I've come to really understand is that if we are thinking the same thoughts and feeling the same things, it's influencing our behavior and our choices, the choices that we make, but it's also creating a change on a cellular level, even down to the DNA. It can change the epigenetics of what's expressed. And so if we are caught up in all this craziness in a chronic way, we can actually increase our risk for high blood pressure and gaining weight and diabetes, and if it's chronic over years, actually create disease. And so, you know, you're talking about mindfulness and, you know, as a lesson that you're teaching your players, and it's beyond just day-to-day life. It really is the difference between having a truly healthy life and having wellness on a mentally, physical, and emotional level versus, you know, the opposite of that. And so, you know, it really struck me reading this as like, oh my goodness, this is the stuff that I'm reading about and learning and trying to really apply every day. And, you know, I have my moments when I do well, and then I have other moments when I, you know, it takes over and somebody else is driving the bus because I'm caught up in the situation. And so, you know, just that one really spoke to me. But let's talk about, you know, because obviously when you came into Harvard, you didn't have all of these lessons all together, all at once, and say, okay, we're going to teach this one this week. And so what was that process like for you, and where did you find your inspiration for these, so to speak? You know, where did you collect this along the way? Because I think, you know, for me, I obviously came to some of these from a completely different perspective. So where did you pick these things up along the way?
Well, when I got the job at Harvard, first of all, my first 11 years at the high school level, I see all these women, and I always thank them for being my great experiment, my lab rats. So I just used my instincts, and that's where both my parents were, you know, ahead of their time, brilliant, and my instincts served me well, even although I made a slew of mistakes. So now I get to Harvard, and I'm like, well, I have these great minds. So the first thing I did was become aware of Jon Kabat-Zinn, and he was teaching a meditation class in my town. And so I took that course and fell in love with him, all of his books, his philosophy, and he might be the guru of meditation and mindfulness in this country. And his emphasis and focus is medicinal. Like you said, you know, your body has this huge impact. My emphasis in learning that was to train the mind to stay present, because that helps with performance. So you can't have, like, an all-American effort or flow in your athletic performance if you are not present. So I used that, staying present and mindfulness, as the foundation of my coaching. And, you know, you can imagine young 18, 19, 20-year-old women who have never even heard of this stuff. You know, I would say there was a lot of giggling, a lot of laughing, a lot of pretending that they were meditating or visualizing or using affirmations. But, you know, they all have come to me at some time in their life, and they go, why didn't you make me take it seriously? Why? And they're all saying, I'm using it in the boardroom. I'm using it in medical school. I'm using it here, there, and everywhere. So it's quite powerful. But, you know, and I tell everyone to this day, like when I teach a leadership class, the first thing I want you to do is try to meditate. And there's no one kind. You can do a walking meditation. You can do a 2-minute meditation. You can, you know, there's just, you know, read anyone who writes about meditation, i.e. Jon Kabat-Zinn, and you will learn. It's just a powerful life tool that helps you, you know, it helped me with my chronic back pain. It helped me with being a breast cancer survivor. It has helped me, you know, get through so much in my life. It helps me get through public speaking if I get anxious about that. So, you know, I would say to anyone, you know, start now, and it's not hard. And don't judge yourself about being good or bad. Oh, I can't meditate because in 10 seconds I think about what I have to wear or what I have to do or what I have to cook or what. And like, that doesn't make you a bad meditator. That's part of the process of, you know, calming your brain down, hence calming your body down.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, actually, you know, the fact that you recognize that you're having thoughts is good.
It's
because
thing.
Now
that's
you're
right.
You're identifying with your true self, that conscious witness. You know, most of the time we go through life and we're just on automatic pilot. Somebody else is driving the bus. We're just going through the motions. We're not even aware of what's going on. We're not aware of the self, you know. People identify so much with their thoughts. And what I've come to learn is that there's this psychopath living in my head talking to me all the time.
Yeah, we all have one.
I know.
I call it a little suitcase, and everybody has baggage, and everyone has a carry-on or a trunk or anything.
Overall.
Yeah, so that's your baggage. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not you. See, this is the thing. People think those thoughts are them, and it's like, no, you can control those thoughts, but the first thing you have to do is to be aware of them. And so you came to this through Kabat-Zinn. I came to it through Emmett Fox, and I remember I sent you a box of these little pamphlets called the 7-Day Mental Diet.
Yeah.
For the team.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, you know, it's just being aware that, oh, that my mind is just making this bleep up. And that is not me. And I just that mere understanding and recognition, it was such an aha moment for me. Because, you know, you know me for forever. I'm a pretty happy person, you know, and pretty positive and all that stuff. And so I was shocked when I started, you know, doing the 7-day mental diet, you know, focusing on my thoughts and saying, like, my God, who is this talking to me? And so,
right.
You know, it's just it's a fascinating thing. And I think that, you know, meditation, is a fantastic tool. And like you said, you can use it different ways. And it's so beneficial. And I think, one of the things, you get a better sense of you, the real you, the you that's back here watching everything and listening to the thoughts in your head. Because I think so many of us are disconnected from that true inner self. So we're going to pause for the break, and when we come back, we will move on to some more life lessons that are in this wonderful book that I can't recommend enough. And if you're a coach, if you're a player, if you're just a woman in the world, honestly, this is a great book for you. So we'll be back shortly.
Want to get that man or woman out of your mind? How about being in the right state of mind for getting that job promotion or staying positive to help boost your immune system? Want to break those old habits? Then it's time for an emotional cellular cleansing with Patty Conklin. You'll get a private 3-hour session in person by phone or by Zoom with 3 months of follow-up appointments, plus email support. But you'll have to do the work, and homework materials are included. Find out more or to book your appointment, visit pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
If you're wondering if Patty can help you heal, why not book a free 15-minute consultation either by phone or by Zoom? It's a great way to see which of Patty's services is right for you. You'll discuss her services in detail and how they can apply to your specific situation. It's really a great place to start, and you can sign up for your free consultation by phone or Zoom on Patty's website, pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com. Get the help you need today. Sign up for your free consultation at pattyconklin.com.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Okay, I get it. You're a doubting Thomas, and you don't want to pay for something unless you can know what it's all about. Well, now you can find out just what Patty Conklin's energy healing is all about. Go to pattyconklin.com to sign up for her free group energy adjustment, held every Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Experience for yourself the transformative energy designed to bring calm and healing to your life. Space is limited, so sign up now. Go to pattyconklin.com, click on services, and you're there.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, folks, we are back. Farnessa here with my guest, Kathy Delaney Smith, a legendary Harvard women's basketball coach and my friend. And we ended before the break talking about staying present and mindfulness and meditation and how these are really essential for performance, but also from my perspective for maintaining wellness, mental, physical, and emotional wellness. And so that sounds like it was the foundational idea that you utilized in coaching your players, and really, and I, you know, to get them to be in the moment, 100% focused on doing what they're doing. But in your book, you know, there are many, many other things that I think are just great lessons. So let's talk about act as if. I found that to be fascinating. And, you know, it sort of made me think, you know, fake it till you make it. Where did that come from?
So act as if is something I probably used from a very, very early age. It must have come from my mom, I think. And I didn't give it a name till I arrived at Harvard and started doing all the sports psychology research that I did. I couldn't read enough sports psychology books. I mean, I was really on a mission to train the minds and brains of my athletes because they weren't quite as tall or quite as fast. And so, if you believe that performance is mental like I do, so it, you know, it paid off. But then I realized I was acting as if. I stole that name from someone and for the life of me cannot remember who I stole it from. So sorry, folks, but it just got its name, and I used it, overused it, and I would say if you were to ask most of the women I coached at Harvard, they would say that I am famous for act as if and or perfect is boring. Those are two things that were mantras of mine, and act as if is not really fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it is a reactive situation.
Mm-hmm.
Act as if is proactive. Act as if means that you act as if you have the skills and qualities that you want, and you'll get them faster. It's not imposter syndrome. It's not fake it till you make it, because you're reacting to a situation instead of creating a situation. And I have used it every time I'm faced with adversity, every time I don't really know what I'm doing, every time I want to be happy and I'm not. You'll be surprised that when you act as if you like this running drill, if you act as if you are a good coach or a good shooter or a nice person, you'll get there faster when you do that. So it's really quite powerful. And a lot of people have given me feedback to say how much this has helped them in their life. So that's a huge, I mean, there were players of mine and people who wanted me to name the book act as if. That's how powerful they feel this particular strategy is.
Yes. I mean, it's really, you know, in the readings and things that I've done, it makes me think of, you know, as you believe, so it is. And cultivating the belief that, like you said, you are good, you are, you know, you can do whatever it is, or get whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're wanting. I mean, I've read a lot of Esther Hicks, you know, and the idea of ask and it is given, you know, where you ask, but you believe it. But it's not, oh, I'm thinking about that I want this or I want to achieve that. It's really cultivating this inner belief that you already have it. And that changes your vibration, and now you become a beacon to attract what it is that you want to you. And so I think there's some similarity here, in that for coaching purposes, you know, you're getting people to really to believe that they can do it, whatever it is, you know,
shoot
better or you know, pass better, or you know, whatever it is, whatever skill. But it does apply to life in general. I mean, I've reinvented myself a few times. You know, I had a medical practice, and then I sold it, and then I had a house call practice. When no one was doing house calls back in the early 2000s when I did it, I was way ahead of my time. And then I got out of that, and now I've gotten to life insurance medicine. It's like, what in the world? But, you know, and all those new things, you know, I think it really helps when you're stepping out of your comfort zone, which is where all the growth happens, right?
And, absolutely.
And having that demeanor of, yeah, I got this. And I think that for young women, it's a really important lesson, because, you know, to this day, there are people out there that just don't believe that girls and women can do anything. They just don't. And so you have to cultivate that yourself. And of course, surround yourself with supportive people that encourage you and support you and help you know that you got this. And so
right.
I think Act As If is a great, great tool to achieve whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And, you know, it directly correlates with the teachings of Esther Hicks and just understanding that it comes from within. That's the other thing I'm really learning lately is everything starts with me. So if I'm feeling irritated about something, I need to look in because it's some crap that I'm carrying. So anyway, these segments go by so fast. But folks, we've got to take another break. We'll be back in a few.